Talk a little bit, very briefly, about the sugya of Lo Tzitz Gordudu. Towards the end of the first parak of Masechta Sivamis, the Gemara discusses the pasuk in Parashas Re'eh, where the Torah tells us that we're prohibited to cut ourselves in mourning. If somebody, Rahman al-Islam, loses a relative, so they may think that the proper reaction is a reaction that was apparently practiced by the Ummah Sa'olam, to cut themselves with sharp edges as an expression of mourning. And the Torah says that that's prohibited. Lo tzitz gordudu ames, that's not the way to do things. And the Gemara in the end of the first parak Yivamis notices that there is an extra dalid there. It could have said lo tzitz gordudu. Lo tzitz gordudu seems to be there for adrasha. And the Gemara says, what's the drasha? Lo seishu agudos agudos, that you should not sit in factions, in groups. Rather, we should have achdus, we shouldn't have split up groups. So what does that mean to have split up groups? So it's a machlokas, Abaye and Rav over there in Yivamis and Daf Yud Gimel and Daf Yud Dalet, where the Gemara discusses this, and the Gemara has two possibilities. Either it means you have one Bezdin, half the Bezdin is telling you to do this, and half the Bezdin is telling you to do that, divergent psokim, while the other opinion is that you have two batei din in the same city, each one telling you to do a different thing. So in terms of the bezdin, that's not the type of structure that we have nowadays, but the Gemara is essentially saying that if you have divergent halachic practices within the same landscape, within the same eye's view, then that's a problem. That's an issue of lo tzitz gordudu. Whether that's an actual drasha or an asmachta is a little bit of a question. There were those who read that as an asmachta. It's not exactly the most explicit pasuk you're going to find. But many assume that that's a din min haTorah, that there is such a prohibition. There's a sefer called Tvar Tzvi, Comments on the Menachas Chinuch, where he notes that both of these dinim, they are both relate to the pasuk, because the pasuk then goes on to say, "Ki banim atem laHashem Elokeichem," you are sons, you are children of God. So essentially, that refers to both messages. That therefore, you should have some perspective, and you shouldn't go to extreme measures in grief, and also that you should recognize that God doesn't want a divided nation. We're all He wants His children unified. So the nature of this prohibition, this idea of lo tzitz gordudu, seems to be a machlokas among the Rishonim. That Rashi over there in Yivamis and a number of other Rishonim understand that the issue here is that we don't want it to appear like there are two Torahs, even though there are two Torahs, Torah Shusav, Torah Shvapad, but not like there are two competing Torahs, so to speak. We don't want to create that impression, and that's the reason for the prohibition. What does that mean? Why do we care if it looks like there are two Torahs? So presumably, I think most understand that that's an idea. It looks like idolatrous. It looks like there's two competing gods. The Nodeb Yehuda's son, Rav Shmuel Landau, has a comment in a tshuva where he also says, Achil Hashem. It looks like God's name is split and God's followers are split. So it's not appropriate for that reason. So on the one hand, we have this concern of two Torahs. That's what Rashi expresses. On the other hand, you have the view of the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch that this is a more practical consideration, that we're afraid that it's going to lead to machlokas. We're afraid that it's going to have people fighting. So in terms of these two drushes, the Netziv has a tshuva about this in his Meshuv Davar, where he notes that the idea that's about machlokas is a little funny, because the Gemara in Yivamis brings it up in the context of Megillah. We could have saved this for Purim too. We could come back to this topic in Purim, because a lot of other approaches, a lot of other aspects of it that affect Purim more specifically, so we'll leave most of those out for tonight. But the Gemara discusses it in the context of Purim. How is it that we have different days for Kriyas and Megillah, and possibly, as the Rishonim discuss, the Rishonim who discussed this on the Gemara Yivamis, I should be more specific. I mean, the Rishonim, Tosfos, and Yivamis, and others bring this up in the context of Purim, that it sounds like from the first Mishnah in Megillah, it's Machlokas, I had to read it again, Purim time, we'll come back to it, but it sounds like there is a statement in the Mishnah that you can have people in the same city reading the Megillah on different days. So the Rishonim discuss how could that be permissible in light of Losis Godudu. And the Netziv says, so here you have, this is Chazal setting this up this way. Chazal is saying, if you come from a Kfar, you read this day. If you come from a Krach, you read this day. So why would anyone fight over that? So he thinks it's more consistent with Rashi's view that it's an issue of two Torahs. He thinks that already seems to point in that direction. The Ritva, it's just interesting that the Ritva, similar to what we said a few minutes ago from the Dvar Tzvi, but pointing to a different point, the Ritva understands the drasha in a way that is consistent with both interpretations. It says, you are sons of God, so therefore he doesn't want to look like you're from two families, you have two different Torahs, and he doesn't, again, want you fighting with each other, he doesn't want you to be in a state of machlokas. So the Netziv, in the context of this tshuva, the Netziv feels that a major nafkamina between these cases is going to be the question of whether this din applies to minhagim. Does this only apply to halachic practices, or does it apply to minhagim as well? Because the Netziv assumes that if it's about two Torahs, so we know there are different minhagim. This is not a surprise. No one's going to fight over that. I'm sorry, we'll get to that in a second. We will fight over that. But in terms of there being two Torahs, it doesn't create the impression of two Torahs when we know there is such a thing as a local minhagim. But when it comes to machlokas, excuse my slip of tongue a second ago, but that's what people fight over the most. Right? People fight over the most that minhagim differences. That's what the Shakas Aryeh, when he became the Rav of the community, so they told him that the practice is that the new rabbi, he has to institute a new minhag to show his leadership, and they should write in the Sefer Minhagim a new minhag. So he says, okay, he wants to write the Asaras HaDibros in the Sefer Minhagim. So he says, but that's been around for a while. So he said, if it was a minhag, people would take it much more seriously. So too, that Minhagim tend to be a source of a lot of machlokas. So the Netziv assumes that if this is about two Torahs, maybe it wouldn't apply to Minig, but if it's about Machlokas, then it should apply to Minig as well. He has a comment about this also in his Sefer on Shas, in the Merom HaSada. In the Merom HaSada, he notes that this is true, even though he thinks, like he says elsewhere, that the din of observing a Minig is a din midivrei Kabbalah, at the Pasuk, Al Titosh Torah Simecha, Shema B'nim Asar V'icha Be'al Titosh Torah Simecha, that you should not neglect the Torah of your mothers. That's the marker for observance of a minhag. So even though there is such a din, which may have a status like a din daraisa, divrei kabbalah, kidivrei torah dami, nonetheless, the prohibition of losis godudu, he thinks, may apply to that because of the issue of machlokas. This has major ramifications for issues in tefillah, which are subject to minhag. And one of the arenas in which this comes up tremendously, which is how I'm trying to make this to a yontif topic, is the question of a tefillin and a chol hamoed, which there is extensive tshuva literature about. Anybody who wants to research the issue, I'll be happy to give you many marmor comments about it. It's a major issue. How could it be that since there are different approaches to whether tefillin should be worn on chol hamoed, so can you have a shul where you have some people putting on tefillin and some people not putting on tefillin? So many poskim, including your Moshe Feinstein, thought this was a major issue, thought this was not something to be taken lightly. In Eretz Yisrael, and if you've been there for Yontif, hopefully aware that they take this extremely seriously, and the practice in Eretz Yisrael is not to wear tefillin on chol hamoed, and to shoot people who do wear tefillin on chol hamoed, to be very aggressive about this. If you wear tefillin on chol hamoed, you don't do it in public. In Eretz Yisrael, they're much more machbit about it. But in America, people tend to be more flexible about it, despite the fact that the poskim had a major concern. The concern is actually a little bit of a partisan issue, because I don't wear tefillin on chol hamoed, but the concern is a little bit more for people who do wear than who don't wear. Because if you don't wear tefillin, so there's always somebody who is not wearing tefillin because, you know, whatever, he lost his tefillin, or he just walked in for a minute, or he's about to go to the bathroom, or whatever it is. So there could be all kinds of reasons why you're not wearing tefillin. But the people who are wearing tefillin, it's a little more of a taina on them. because there's no other explanation other than you're wearing tefillin. So that it tends to be a concern of losis godadu, and it's a question how you deal with it, or why it's become so mekubal. Sternbach has an interesting tshuva about it, where he says that the only thing it applies to, the Gemara talks about bezdin, you know, is things you can take to a bezdin for resolution. And since this is an old standing fight that's not going to be resolved by any bezdin, so therefore it's somehow outside the scope of losis godadu. Others suggest, as an opinion of the Steich Emet, that if you have a different practice because of a halachic dispute, so then that's not considered to be subject to losis godadu either, which is an interesting approach, because the Gemara is talking about halachic disputes, but I guess apparently the Gemara is saying that when the issue is being adjudicated, so then you have to pick one side. But when you have different practices generations later that develop from halachic disputes, apparently, according to that view in the Steich Emet, it's excluded. But again, this is a difficult issue because a lot of poskim did think this was an area in which there is a serious concern. The Sri Yesh has a tshuva where he takes issue with an itziv's tshuva. He has a lot of objections to it. And he thinks in general that losis godu doesn't really apply to minhagim, but there's another prohibition. Like the Gemara's in Masachas Pesachim talk about al yishana adam, a person shouldn't act differently in areas of minig, in places where minig is one way, shouldn't act another way. I have a concern for machlokas, so it's the same type of idea, but it's not whether it may not necessarily flow from the idea of losis godadu. So there are those who suggest other types of potential heterim. Some say they have a very long-standing, well-established difference, so then that's not going to be fought over. Like the Steich Emet also quotes, if you have the difference between Ashkenazi and Sephardi practice, so that's presumably not going to be the basis of a fist fight, because this is a difference that goes back already so many centuries. This is already well established. And also, if you have a situation where people agree that there's clear rules why you have different people doing different things, more people agree, so then there was a machlokas about that. There were those who felt that that's okay, that that's actually pshat in the whole Megillah issue, right? Nobody's going to fight about Megillah because we understand you're from a kfar and from a krach, we have different rules, and others disagreed with that. There is also, as we can understand, a big difference, as the post can point out, if it's something that's private, if it's something that is not perceived by others, or at least by one of the parties, so then that may also not be subject to losis godadu potentially. Say one of the parties, so it's also a good question, we talk about parties, is that groups? And the Gemara talks about agudos agudos, so that means specifically groups, or does it apply to individuals also? Pasha pshat as it applies to individuals also. There is a discussion about that in the Sefer Avnei Gazus, which is about Hilchos Sanhedrin. And he there raised the possibility, which is a mechudish idea, that maybe this whole concept only applies to those who are mora halacha, those who are influencing their kehilas. They shouldn't be telling them to operate in different ways from each other in a situation that creates a losis godadu reality. There is an approach. Rav Moshe Halberstam is a great posek, passed away a little while ago. The Tshuvas Dvar Moshe. So he suggests it's very likely, as you could guess, that probably both svaras are true lahalacha, that we don't want it to look like there's two Torahs, and we don't want to have machlokas. So probably you have to be machmir for both. So it's interesting. His son-in-law, Rav Matasyahu Deutsch, also has a sefer of Tshuvas. And he has this chiddush, I think, on his own. I don't think he quotes his father-in-law. He says the same idea, they have to be machmer for both. But it says that could have an afkamin. He says that could explain, let's say, a heter for a long entrenched minig. So a long entrenched minig, so it's not going to be like two Torahs because it's a minig. And if it's long entrenched and people recognize you're from two different cultures, so then they're not going to presumably have machlokas either. So even if you're machmir for both, there's still situations where they could both be accommodated. To this effect, he quotes from the Tshuvas Emek Halacha that there's no prohibition of losis godadu if you don't have the ability to do anything different. Meaning what? Meaning, if you have a binding minig on you from earlier generations, So therefore, you are bound to that earlier plaque, so then there's no prohibition of losses go to do. It's a question that seems to be against what the Netziv was saying, when the Netziv says that overrides the concept of Altizor Shtarus Nimecha. It doesn't sound like you would necessarily agree. But, okay. There was, Rabbi Hoffman will remember that many years ago there was a dying from Eretz Yisrael by Avram Sherman, who spent some time here in Yeshiva. And he wrote an article in Truman where he noted that the truth is, it's interesting that the Rambam brings this as the mucker for the idea of not getting into a machlokas. There are many other psukim in the Torah. Maybe we'll have an opportunity to speak about it when we're not starting so late at night. But there are many other psukim in Chumash that talk about potential sources for the issue of machlokas. Perhaps most prominently, not to be like Korach, plus again, Parshas, same, which says not to be like Adas Korach and various other psukim we recently read in Shoftim the Karasalei El Shalom, various, which is Parshas on a national level, but some understand it on an interpersonal level as well. We have a number of different makoros about avoiding machlokas. So he suggests that the Rambam finds his source in Losses Godudu in order to emphasize that this applies even in the context of halachic discourse, that even you might think, okay, when it comes to halachic issues, that's all that matters, nothing to be concerned about in terms of shalom. So the Rambam goes out of his way to say this is the mucker for the isser of machlokas. And as some pointed out, Rabbi Moshe Weinberger wrote an article where he suggests that therefore also a part and parcel of this din is that we should also try to take care of any machlokas, that not just to avoid causes for one, but also try to reverse situations of machlokas, which itself is the Yom Kippur topic, because the Pirkei de Blazer says that the malachim who argue on our behalf on Yom Kippur say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should really save the Jews, they're pretty good, because they're very angelic, they very much like the Malachim. How do they like the Malachim? So one way in which they like the Malachim is just like the Malachim aren't fighting with each other, so too, supposedly, the Jews aren't fighting with each other as well. And similarly, the Medrash says in Parashas Tzav that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that God bless Shalom. Shalom is a phenomenal thing. When the Jews are all one unit, even if they would be able to Avarazara, I would forgive them. And that's apparently an idea that's relevant to this notion as well. Okay, like I said, we're going to keep it short, so I'll just quickly review what we spoke about. We spoke about the fact that there is this din of losses go to do, which Torah tells us not only don't cut yourself, but also don't sit agudos agudos. I mentioned the Dvar Tzvi's drasha, how it connects the two limudim. We mentioned the Sashayla, whether it's an asmacht or a real Din Daraisa, and then we say Rashi's idea is that this is about so they shouldn't look like two Torahs, which apparently is either an issue of Avodah Zarah or an issue of Chil Hashem, and the Rambam understands it to be an issue of Machlokas, as does the Sefer Achinuch. We mentioned that the Netziv thought that it was surprised to say it's a Machlokas because the Rishon will apply it to Purim. And then we talked about the Ritva's Pshat on Kibbanim Atam Hashem Lakeichen, how it's both about don't have machlokas and don't have two Torahs. And we talked about the Netziv applying this whole issue to the question of Minig, that Minig is not a problem of two Torahs, but is a problem of machlokas. And he says in his Meron Beisodi that this Isser would supersede the commandment of Al Titosh Torahs Imecha. And then we talk a little bit about the question of tefillin. How could you have different people doing different things in terms of tefillin on Chol Hamoed? Many poskim thought that was a big deal. Some approaches that deal with it. Rav Sternbuch's approach that if there's no Beis Din that can pass, you're not going to have a yisur per se. Or the approach that long entrenched, or the approach to that issues that are matters of halachic dispute, like the Sdei Chamed brings, is not subject to this as well. We talked about the Sri Yashas Tshuva about the Din of Al Yishan Adim of Pneum Achlokas, that that's relevant to Menhagim, even if Losses Go to Do isn't. And we talked about this question of long entrenched recognized differences, such as that of Ashkenazim and Sephardim, or cases where everyone agrees that the different set of rules apply to the other party. Should that make a difference? We talked about situations where it's something's done in a private way so other people don't know. Many poskim thought that makes a difference. And we talked about the Tshuvas Dvar Rosha of Moshe Halberstam, says we have to be machmer for both, and have a son-in-law independently. And Tshuva says a similar thing, but says theoretically you could accommodate both. So, for example, long entrenched menhagim are neither a problem of two Torahs or a problem of leading to machlokas. He said he brought a proof from the Emek Halacha that somebody who is bound to follow what he's following is not subject to losses go to do, apparently, in a situation where he has a long entrenched minig. And that we mentioned also the suggestion by Rabbi Sherman that the idea of losses go to do being the source for the issa machlokas is to tell us that even when it's about halachic discourse, there is such a notion, and by Moshe Weinberger's observation that it creates a converse obligation to try to make shalom, which, as we emphasize, is one of the major themes of Yom Kippur, part of the goals that we have before we expect to achieve atonement on that day. So I will wish you in that spirit a wonderful Shana Tova. Next week, this time, we'll be bringing in Hashanah, but God willing, in 2 weeks, we'll meet before Yom Kippur. And everyone should have a fantastic new year.